Our service tonight. Let's take our hymn books together, please. 569. Let's stand as we sing Sound the Battle Cry. 569. Good to have you folks back again tonight. Before we pray and open our service, I want to share a couple pictures with you on Wednesday night. In case you weren't here, Brother Mark Logan sent back some pictures from Malawi, West Africa. And of course, you'll remember back in February, John McPherson went home to be with the Lord. And the folks and the teenagers especially spearheaded the effort. And the folks in our church were so gracious to give some good offerings. And so they have finished and completed one of the dormitories there at the Bible College. And they've called it McPherson's Hall in memory of John. And so we appreciate that so much. And also, they have changed the name of their church. It used to be Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Now it's Bethel Good Samaritan Baptist Church in honor of Bethel Baptist. but they just finished painting that, whitewashing that building. And let me tell you, for Africa, that is a fantastic building. A lot of times they don't have walls, they just have a roof on some sticks. And so for them to have a building like that, we praise the Lord. And we won't show you all the pictures tonight, but we saw some on Wednesday night where that building is full already. And we praise the Lord for those souls that are being saved there. And that McPherson's Hall will hold 24 young men that are training for the gospel ministry. So we praise the Lord for that. Let's go, Lord, in prayer tonight and ask His blessing. Brother McDonald may have an announcement or two, so you come and lead us.
About that Malawi thing, I'm under in negotiations right now to have their assistant pastor's last name changed to McDonald, too, just so you know. All right. That is certainly good news. When I saw that on Wednesday night, it was great. Let's keep Pauline Spencer in prayer at this time. She's very weak because of the illness that she has with the cancer, and that she really needs our prayers at that time. So we'll remember her as we go to prayer for tonight's offering. And if I could have Brother John, if you'd pray for that.
Come gather in your house for this offering tonight that will be used for the work here at home. You see some slides of what's happening even around the world with our missionaries. Bless the giver of gifts in each case of the assets of Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you now as you give.
Taste the bitterness of death, or have to walk through chilly Jordan to enter into rest. But I did say I'd be right on the other side. And I did say I'd dry every tear you cry. 'Cause you know I made a promise that I'd prepare a place, and someday sooner than you think you'll see me face to face. And you'll sing with the angels and a countless multitude. This is the promise. This is the promise God made to you. So just keep on walking, don't turn to the left or right, but in the midst of darkness, let this be your light. That hell can't separate us, and you're gonna make it through. This is the promise. This is the promise God made to you. God made to you. God made to you.
Now let's take our hymn books again, please. 574. 574. Let's stand as we sing Hold the Fort, for I am coming. 574. Seated.
Amen.
Take our hymn books, 579, Stand Together, Please, The Banner of the Cross, 579.
Amen. As we sing the last verse tonight, I'll ask the men to join me at the Lord's table. 579, let's sing The Banner of the Cross. To gather around the Lord's table. It is a memorial service, a time of remembrance of what Jesus Christ has done for us. The table itself does not impart any grace. Thank you, men. You may be seated. But it is a remembrance or memorial of what has already been completed in the believer's life through the cross of Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, you don't have anything to remember. I want to encourage you to put your faith and trust in Jesus tonight. And as we observe the table tonight, the elements are such as this. The cup, the fruit of the vine, is a token of the Lord Jesus Christ's blood that was shed for us to help us remember the shed blood of Calvary. The little wafer that we'll take is unleavened. That means no yeast, a picture of sin. Jesus Christ took it at the Last Supper and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken." And we are to do it in remembrance of him until he comes again. The Bible clearly states, let every man examine himself. We don't police the Lord's table, but instead we ask you tonight to examine your own hearts and lives to make sure you're in a place that you're taking in a worthy manner. I'd encourage you to bow your hearts and your heads at this time, and let's take some time to pray and seek the Lord's face.
Thank you, Father, for your great love towards us. And as we do this service in remembrance of you, just what it means, Lord, that Christ Jesus went to the cross of shame for our sins, for my sins, Lord. Pray, Father, that daily we may confess our need of you, that we may walk closer to you, Lord, and remember your great love, that, Father, we be worthy servants of thine to represent you, Lord. Take away any harsh feelings we have for anybody, and, Father, most of all, that we may be washed, and we have been washed in the precious blood of Jesus, and that daily we need to come before you for cleansing, for help, and for strength. Help us remember this service, Father, that thy name would be glorified. Use us, Father, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Psalms tells us of the strength and the power of our salvation that was given to us on the cross.
And as we see here in Psalm 20, verses 5, 6, and 7, it says, "We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Our God truly is strength, and we see it in our salvation every day.
Amen. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Eat all of it.
Heavenly Father, once again, we give you thanks that we can come and gather around your table and remember what you've done for us on Calvary's cross. We thank you for your shed blood, for the Bible tells us without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. So bless us as we gather around, remember what you've done for us, on Calvary's cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Psalm 32 is a very powerful psalm in itself, talking about our sins and forgiveness. It says in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept my silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him."
After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Drink all of it. I'm going to ask Mr. Bob Tyrrell if you close our Lord's table with a word of prayer tonight.
Stop and remember Calvary. Lord, we thank you for what you've done there on the cross. Lord, you were whipped, your beard was pulled, you were spit upon, you were ridiculed, only because of our sins that we have here on earth in this day. Lord, we thank you now for this remembrance. Lord, may we never forget it. And Lord, we thank you for the scriptures that remind us what we should do. Lord, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and we thank you in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. As our men return to their seats and Mr. Baker comes to sing, let's sing "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me my great salvation so rich and
to those around me. I want my life to be that roadmap that says hope. I want my life to be a beacon on life's raging sea. I want the world to see Jesus when they look at me. When the world looks at me, do they see Jesus? When the world looks at me, what do they see? Do they see hope? Do they see love? Do they see charity? When the world looks at me, what do they see? I spoke, did my words contain your wisdom, Lord? And when I prayed, did my prayers contain your love? And did my life reflect the glory of your Spirit? And did I show the ones around me they were loved? When the world looks at me, do they see Jesus? When the world looks at me, what do they see? Do they see hope? Do they see love? Do they see charity? When the world looks at me, what do they see? When the world looks at you, do they see Jesus? When the world looks at you, what do they see? Do they see hope? Do they see love? Do they see charity? When the world looks at you, what do they see? And Lord, when the world looks at me, what do they see?
Let's take our Bibles tonight, please, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, you might have suspected we were headed to this passage with all the soldiers on the screens tonight and the marching songs. Ephesians chapter 6, let me encourage you. Of course, this week starts our open air meetings Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night. Every night at 7 o'clock, and I'm going to tell you, I can't say it enough. I've been listening to their CDs now for a couple of years, and you won't want to miss the Clark family, and I actually heard them last year at a church in person, and really thoroughly was blessed. Phenomenal. You will really be blessed, and the preaching, I know, will be exactly what we need. And so this Wednesday night, bring a lawn chair, leave your ties at home, men. You won't hear that very often, but just come and enjoy the outdoors, and we're going to do a lot of singing, a lot of preaching, going to be a good night. You won't want to miss a night. One of those nights, I think we're going to have some watermelon after, so bring the kids. And they ought to be in church anyway. It'd be good for them, all right? So come, and we'll have a good time each of those nights. I've invited some other churches to come. Brother Uren, you should have received a letter, and I hope that you'll come and bring some folks maybe Thursday night. Nothing going on at your church Thursday night, is there? Praise the Lord. I hope you'll come, and we'll just have a great time. And so other folks are, I know some from the Indian Reserve are coming over. They've already called and asked about times and such, and so we're going to have a great time. You won't want to miss it. We've already planned for next year's open-air meetings in Chicken on the Grounds the same week next year, or actually the week last week of July. The tradition, I know, is killing you, so we'll go back to the last Sunday in July next week, and we've already got it planned by a fellow by the name of Bruce Fry. Has anybody ever heard of Bruce Fry? Some of you might have. Bruce Fry started out his life trying to seek fame and fortune, and went to Nashville as a singer and played guitar and went to, and there's pictures on his website. He sang with Hank Williams Jr. and people like that. Bob Simmons, you should know him real well, amen. And a whole bunch of country groups. He became very famous. He sang with Andy Griffith. You remember Andy Griffith from the old Andy and Opie and all the rest, Mayberry Show. And he sang on one of his CDs with him. And so he became very popular until his best friend was killed, stabbed to death in a nightclub in Nashville. His friend was named Skull. What a name, Skull. And when he was killed, he began to wonder about eternal life and wondered what happened after you die. He had a brother that was saved and in the ministry, and he called his brother, and his brother led him to the Lord, and ever since then, he's been singing for the Lord. And so I'm excited to hear his testimony. That's what I want to hear, is how he came to the Lord in his life and how God has changed him. And let me tell you, if you have some tough friends, that'll be a good testimony for them to hear. And so that's next year. We're looking forward to that. And so you mark your calendars for the last week of July next week. Next year, I know some folks, I praise the Lord for that. I'm glad that some folks plan their vacation around that. They enjoy coming to Chicken on the Grounds. And so plan on being here next year on the very last week of July. We're going to have a great time. And I'm so excited to hear his testimony. I want to hear what the Lord has done in his life. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Look with me, if you will, in verse 10. I know everybody knows this passage almost by heart, but something struck me this week, and I want you to notice it with me. It kind of gave me a kind of a new perspective on this passage. Now, there's nothing new under the sun, is there? But how many of you know that if you've read your Bible through for the 40th time, God always gives you something new on the 40th time? And then if you read it through another 50 times, God shows you, and you kind of sometimes kick yourself and say, why didn't I see that the first time? It would have helped me. But the Lord showed me something this week, and I want to share it with you this evening. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you challenge us with it tonight. Father, I need your help, and I ask, Lord, that you'd fill me with thy Holy Spirit. May the same Spirit of God minister to each heart here tonight. Lord, we ask that your richest blessing be beyond our meetings this week. We pray, Lord, that as we're outside and singing, the people coming out of Walmart will hear the gospel in song and in preaching. And Lord, we pray that some visitors would come, and Lord, that folks might be saved. Father, but we pray that you strengthen our church. May we have a great time together as we grow in Jesus Christ. Father, bless our service now. Help us to focus on your word. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1990, I went off to Bible college, Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. And one of the classes I had to take, and I really wasn't looking forward to it, I had to take American history. American history. It's an interesting thing. You know, I know there's a few Americans here tonight. My wife is one of them, but I think she would agree with this and probably say that this is a true statement. A lot of Canadians know much about American history, but Americans know very little about Canadian history. Would you agree with that, hon? That's true. I mean, it's just a fact. They don't take the time to learn it in their schools, but we are so closely tied that we get a lot of American history. But even though I had learned a lot about American history, I wasn't looking forward to that class. But it became one of the highlights of the semester, and I'll tell you why. We got to the War of 1812. I mean, if you're a Canadian sitting there was two fantastic things that happened while I was in Bible college. The Toronto Blue Jays won the World Series twice, and Canada won the War of 1812. Praise the Lord. And so I got to sit there and gloat right there in class. And the teacher knew I was Canadian, and I happened to be the only Canadian in the class, so there were other Canadians on campus. But in that class, in U.S. history, I was the only Canadian in class. And so it felt real good that the history professor would say something like, well, Canada won this war. He says, America will always say that they have never lost a war on their own soil. But he says, let me tell you, it just isn't true. He says, we were fortunate to get out of that war with our own borders intact. And that's very true. Canada went down and burnt down the White House and wrought a great victory as the U.S. was trying to expand their borders, but Canada, the British, were able to withstand in that fight. You know, I got thinking about that war and thinking about this passage, and it's a great example of us to what the Bible means when it says to stand. There are three very important words, and we start in verse 12. It says, For we wrestle not with flesh and blood. The word wrestle means to contend with, to fight with, to try to bring to a place of submission. If you've ever watched wrestling, perhaps in the Olympics, or maybe you have some teenagers that are interested in wrestling in their high school or what have you, that is the whole point, to get somebody to tap out or to get a referee to say that they've been pinned and that they have to submit. That's what the word wrestle means, to overthrow. In that War of 1812, we had to wrestle, not by choice, but we had to defend our borders, and so we wrestled. But the Bible goes on, and it says, finally, in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to, what's the next word? Withstand. Withstand in the evil day. The word withstand means to set oneself against, to resist, to oppose. To oppose change. Now, I think you would understand with me tonight that we are able to oppose things, we are able to withstand without necessarily wrestling. Would you agree with that? The other day I came out of my home and I guess it was a couple weeks ago when my wife was in the hospital, and I was coming down to the hospital to see her, and I parked on a side street, and as I was walking back there was several people lined up on the street with their placards, and it was the Right to Life group from downtown, and thank God for them, by the way, and standing there and just talking about abortion takes a human life and pray for the unborn and different signs like that, and so they were withstanding. They were making their views known. They weren't wrestling. They weren't fighting. The newspaper might like to report that they caused a scene or they were causing problems, but they were very graciously standing there with scripture and verses and things on their sign that just said, here's where we stand, here's where God stands, here's what the Bible says. And so they were withstanding without wrestling. So the Bible says there's a couple degrees here. First of all, for we wrestle not, and by the way, we are to earnestly contend for the faith. We are to fight. We are to wrestle. But I think the author is saying to the church at Ephesus, he understands that sometimes we grow weary in the battle. We get tired of fighting. We get tired of wrestling. So he says, okay, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and you're wrestling against principalities, spiritual wickedness, rulers in the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places, and all these things. And he says, so here's what you need to do. Take unto you the whole armor of God. You need to understand the enemy is big, and the enemy is ferocious, and the enemy will not stop. So here's what you need to do. Put on the armor so that you might withstand. Now, you see the picture on the screen with me tonight? When you see a fella dressed with armor, so many people were wondering what that was. Did everybody catch right away that's a Roman soldier? No, nobody did. All right, some did. that's a Roman soldier. That's his helmet, and you can see his eyes and his nose. Some people are saying, well, what is that? And they told me all kinds of things. Somebody said it looks like a turtle turned on his side. And I don't know what you were seeing, but I guess I knew what it was going to be, so that helped me. But when you see a soldier dressed in his army fatigues or dressed in his armor, how many of you know that he's ready to fight? He's ready to withstand. Now, I've been to Ottawa, and I've been to different places, and sometimes you'll see soldiers stationed outside of the Parliament Hill there. Men with machine guns, and when we went to Israel, everywhere we went, there was young people, sometimes only 17, 18, 19 years old, walking around in fatigues and carrying a machine gun with them. They're always on high alert. By the way, pray for Israel right now. They're in a very, very dangerous battle. I remember, it wasn't long after 9/11, my wife's grandfather passed away. It was just about a week. And we went to the Buffalo Airport, and Buffalo Airport was a total different place after 9/11, especially immediately after 9/11. Our car got searched just going into the parking garage. We got into where they check all your stuff, and so I went through the metal detector, and sure enough, I'd forgotten something in my pocket. Well, what'd you do in those days? You used to take out your change, and you put it in a little bowl. And so they said, do you have anything in your pockets? I took out my change. I put it in the little bowl there. And then I did something that was fatally wrong. I turned around to go back through the metal detector. Isn't that what you always used to do? Next thing I know, I had 15 machine guns pointed at me. And they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just going back. And they said, we don't do that anymore. And out came a fella, and he was using some sort of wand on me, and he was checking, and he says, I need to frisk you and put up your hands. He says, take off your belt. And so I took off my belt. He says, is there anything sharp under there? I said, no, sir. I took off my belt. And then he said this, and understand, this was about 12 years ago. I had diabetes, and I didn't know it. I had lost 45 pounds, and my pants were just hanging on me. I took my belt off. He said, now put your arms up. I said, I got to do up my pants. He said, put your arms up. I said, I'm doing up my belt. He says, put your arms. I said, if I don't put on my belt, my pants will fall to the floor. He said, put on your belt. And then he started laughing. They try so hard to be stern. But you know, when all those soldiers came out with their machine guns, they didn't have to wrestle me. It was enough just that the armor that they were wearing saying, we're going to withstand. We oppose what you're doing. You see, when we put on the armor of God, there are times we don't even have to wrestle because we're already withstanding. You see, the breastplate, the Bible talks about the breastplate of righteousness. That's where the insignia was. That says I'm one of God's kids. And I'm already ready to withstand. The devil knows that I'm ready to put up a fight. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. So withstand. But you know, there are days, I suppose, that we even get tired of withstanding, don't we? It's sad, but it's true. There are days where the world just keeps pelting its filth at us, and we keep opposing, and we keep preaching the scriptures, and we keep telling our kids what is right, and we keep pushing, and we keep pushing, but we get tired. So here's what Paul says, if you'll read on in verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day. But look at this. And having done all, to stand. He says, when you have wrestled till you can wrestle no more, I want you to withstand. He says, when you have withstood and you've opposed and you've pushed back and you've preached the truth and you've fought and you've fought and you've fought and you've fought till you can't fight anymore, and here's the very least I need you to do. I need you to stand. What does the word stand mean? The word stand means to establish. It means to make firm. It means to keep your place. It means don't change. Don't change. Now, I want you to notice the transition as we go into verse 14. Look what it says in verse 14. It does not say, wrestle, therefore. It does not say, withstand, therefore. It just says, stand, therefore. In other words, I'm going to tell you how you should stand. Stand, therefore. There are some things that you should never change. Now, let me come at this in a different direction. I see here a progression. I see here a progression. Let me, for example, let me just throw there. somebody was unsaved, they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, they needed to be saved, and so they bowed the knee, they trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and all of their life they had struggled with alcoholism. Well, what's their first wrestling match? Where's the first thing the devil's going to come and tempt them in? That very first night they get saved on Sunday night, they're going to go to work on Monday morning, and somebody undoubtedly is going to say, hey, do you want to go to get a drink after work? That's how the devil operates. And so they're going to have to wrestle. They're going to fight the flesh. They're going to wrestle the principalities in the spiritual darkness. They're going to fight a little bit. They go outside for their coffee break. It's a beautiful day, and everybody around is smoking and pulls out a pack and offers them. They're going to have to wrestle a little bit. They've been struggling with some things in their lives, and they've been having marriage problems. They go home, and the wife gets on them right away, and so they're tempted to lash out and to fight back and to push. They're going to have to wrestle the flesh a little bit. But you know, after you wrestle for a little bit and start to get the victory, then you just have to withstand. You have to take the onslaught. You have to take the fight. When you decide in your mind, you know what, I'm not going to fight you anymore. I'm going to have the victory in Christ Jesus. God says, I want you to withstand. Just tell them the truth. Oppose. Don't. But then he says, there's going to come a day in your spiritual walk and your maturity. You don't have to fight anymore. You don't have to. Listen, I'm not saying let your guard down. I'm not saying there's not going to be new battles that come along. I'm not saying there's not another day to wrestle. But praise God for the victory we can have in Christ Jesus. We can overcome the world because he has overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm just saying that, listen, I know some folks that battled with alcohol before they got saved. A friend of mine in Hamilton, Gary, he used to drink and drink and drink, and he'd go to a bar and he'd get drunk, and here's how he came to church. His dad had a friend, and his dad got saved before he died, and this friend bugged him for years to come to church. Would you come to church? No, I'm not going to church. And he bugged him for years to go to church, and finally one weekend, every weekend he'd go and he'd get drunk. And you guys have seen Gary once in a while. He's a big fella. He's not somebody you want to mess with. He told me this. He says, in a bar, he says, when the smallest guy gets drunk, he always has to prove himself by taking on the biggest guy. He says, guess who that always was? He says, I never started a fight, but I always finished it. And so he ended up in jail almost every weekend. The police got to know him. They just let him dry out, and then they'd send him home. So finally, one Sunday morning, he woke up and he called the fellow and said, I'll go to church with you. And he got saved. 2 weeks later, he accepted Christ. I remember going to his house with Pastor Massacre and sitting there and telling him about the Lord Jesus Christ and him bowing his head, accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And you say, did he have to wrestle? He sure did. He wrestled for quite a while. There were times where he'd come to church. He'd say, Pastor, he says, oh, he says, it was such a hot day this week. And he says, After work, he says, I went and had a beer. That was the first year he got saved. You know, and then finally at the end of that first year, he says, you know what? He says, I've gone a whole year now and I had 3 beers in the whole year. The next year, he didn't have any. You see, the wrestling settled down a little bit. I said, don't let your guard down. He says, no, I still got to, he didn't say withstand, but that's what, he says, I still got to resist it. We have to withstand. But you know, 10 years, 12 years later, whatever it's been since he's been saved, I think it's actually been, it was 1996, it's been 18 years. He's probably at the point he just has to stand now. And you say, how do I stand? Look what the Bible says. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Remember what the word stand means? It means don't change. Don't change. Don't change. The first thing we don't change is we don't change what we believe. Don't change what you believe. You know, if I were to bring some folks up here tonight and say, listen, we have some folks here. How many have been here members for 40 years or more? Raise your hand. 40 years, Dorksons and others. 50 years or more. We got some. Yeah, we got a few more here. 60 years? Anybody hit 60? Miss Britton, now you're starting to get cringing. Mr. Pike, well, you were born here. Almost 70 years then you've been a member. When did you get saved? How old were you? How old? 11? 11, so it'll be a while before 70. Okay, we'll give you 60. Of course, Vera Moe just went home to be with the Lord a short time ago. She became a member at 16 years old and was a member for 77 years before she died. Incredible. 77 years. If I were to ask you, what are some of the changes you've seen at Bethel Baptist Church over the years? Boy, there'd be a lot of difference, wouldn't there? Well, a couple months ago, Pastor Clayton was in town, and when we did the revival meetings there. And so when he was in town, we did something I don't know if we should have or not, but we snuck into the old Bethel Baptist Church building on Maple Street. It's a retirement home now, and so we walked around and talked to people. They were actually happy to have some company, but we walked around the building, and we said, hey, this used to be our church building. We walked around and looked at all the different things. Man, it's changed. How many of you remember playing hide-and-seek in that old basement? You remember doing that? Nobody will admit it, but you all did it. I remember running through there in the dark and hitting those walls head-on. I mean, it was just a cavern down there. Things have changed. You know, today we have screens and we have different things going on, and the lights dim and they come on and they come off, and you know, we're on the television and we live stream on the computer, and I know Brother Batak's son, Jing Jr., he watches us almost every week in the Philippines. We wouldn't have heard of that 40 years ago, would we? You know, it's incredible how far things have come. But you know, the things that we believe better never change. We change the pews, we change the carpet, we change the paint, we change the flowers, we change a lot of things. Some of the methods and things, but listen, the message can never change. Don't change what you believe. He says, we are to stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth never changes. You know, if it was wrong 50 years ago, it's wrong today. Do you know that? How many times, you must get tired of this, I get tired of this. But don't you understand this is 2014? Well, who cares what year it is? I mean, what does that have to do with anything? If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. 100 years ago, it was against the law to practice homosexuality in Canada. By the way, it's been wrong for centuries according to God's word. So why is it changing? We are to stand having our loins girded about with truth, and truth does not change. You know, years ago, adultery was punishable as a crime in our country. If you were caught in adultery, you could go to jail for that. We'd have to lock up most of Norfolk County. Wouldn't we? Let me ask you this. How many of our bus kids' parents are married? It's become the norm in our society. How sad. The world can change, but we must never. We must stand, having our loins girt about with truth. We are living in a day of compromise where the Bible is being attacked, and we must stand firm on the things that we believe. Don't change what you believe. Secondly, don't change the way you live. Look what it says in verse 14. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Remember I said earlier the breastplate was the place the insignia was inscribed on a Roman soldier. By looking at his breastplate, you knew his rank, his file. You knew where, today most soldiers wear patches on their sleeves, and they'll put little buttons on their shoulder, and it'll tell whether they're a lieutenant, a commander, whatever they might be. But in those days, the insignia upon the breastplate would tell exactly who you belong to and what rank and file you were. Friends, the Bible says we are to have on the breastplate of righteousness, we are to show that we are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ and we belong to Him, and that should cause us to live a certain way. How do we display righteousness? We're to have it on, we're to wear it. Let me ask you tonight, how are your convictions and your standards regarding the things of God? Somebody said, well, you're just a legalist if you have standards. No, listen, legalism is adding something to the gospel of the grace of God. We're not doing that. The Bible calls it something different. It calls it separation. I'm getting tired of people saying, well, you're just a legalist. No, we are separated. That's a Bible word. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Oh, you're just a legalist. No, I'm a biblicist. We need to believe the Bible. Don't change the way you live. It's separation. Look what it says in verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Don't change what you do. You know, I enjoy different programs in the church. I remember as a child getting excited about different things that were going on. I remember back at 154 Maple Street, the Hatfields and the McCoys. I don't know how that was biblical at all, but it was fun. I mean, we had a family feud going on right there in the church. It was good. I remember the Battle of Roses. How many remember the Battle of Roses? Yeah? And I think it was Jimmy Roberts was head of one of those teams. And you were the Duke of Earl, weren't you? Something like that? Probably. I mean, it was something. We were just listening just a little while ago. Mike McDonald was cheering on one of the teams. Well, I think you must have been the other Duke or something. I don't know. But he was rallying the troops. And I remember coming to Sunday school and thinking, boy, that is fun. But listen, we can never let it overshadow the main mission of reaching souls for Jesus Christ. Don't change what you do. The Bible says our feet shod. Listen, when I get my shoes on, it means I'm ready to go. Amen? My feet are shod. I'm ready to go out the door. I'm ready to work. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like having shoes on. These old dress shoes, they are so uncomfortable. The first thing I do when I get home is I kick them off. And since it's an illustration, I get to preach with them off. Praise the Lord. Man, they're uncomfortable. I wear them all day, every day. And the first thing I do when I get home, I kick them off. But when I get up in the morning, I got to slip them on. And as soon as I get them on, my wife says, I guess it's time to go. We got our feet shod. But what are they shod with? With the preparation of the gospel. Of peace. Listen, that is our job. Don't change the things that you do. Keep preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so encouraged lately to hear the testimonies of people trying to reach others for Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, this last week, Brother Calvin and I, we went out and we knocked on a bunch of doors. I slept better that night, and I slept in a long time. Boy, it feels good to get out and tell people about Jesus. I was so thrilled Wednesday night when Leah walked in and brought in Caesar and his little girl. And she says, hey, I met these folks in Tim Hortons on Sunday night. And they're looking for a church, and I invited them here. And there they come. This morning, he came with his wife Ashley and their baby, all family of four, in church this morning. And he came to me after. He says, hey, what are these open-air meetings? What is this chicken on the ground? Are we allowed to come? I said, no. I said, of course you're allowed to come. Praise the Lord. Come and hear the gospel preached. And this morning, after the message, I asked, does anybody need to be saved? And Caesar went, I do. Hey, we need to remember that the main mission is to have our feet shod. Keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. There are so many churches today that have watered down their message and changed from the main directive that they are no longer winning souls, but they have just become social centers. For years in Stony Creek, we rented a portion of the United Church there, Stony Creek United Church at 1 King Street West. The building, United Church people are so steeped in tradition that they refused to tear down their old Methodist church. So instead, they just built around it and kept it there. They couldn't tear it down. I mean, that was a sacred cow. And so we were blessed to be able to have our own church building inside of their church building. We had we went into a door, but then we went through another door, and we had our own church building right inside. They built all the way around it. We couldn't understand why they didn't tear that thing down 100 years ago. I was talking to the minister one day, and he said this. These are his words. Stony Creek United Church was founded in 1760-something. I mean, it's an old church. He said this, we are the oldest social center in Ontario. I thought, isn't that sad? Isn't that pathetic? I mean, loosely, he could have said we're the oldest church. There's probably a Catholic church somewhere older, I suppose, but he could have used at least the word church, but he said we are the oldest social center. And I thought, boy, isn't that the truth? So sad. He printed a message at Christmas time, and he used to put out his messages on a piece of paper so people could pick them up and read them. And I saw, well, I'm going to pick that up. And I was looking at them one day, and I saw one, and it said, concerning sin and salvation. I thought, wow. Hey, that's pretty good. I'm glad he's preaching on sin and salvation. I picked it up, and it started out something like this. It said, it would take a stark fundamentalist to ask you the question, are you saved? It would take someone even crazier to know how to answer that. Boy, that old Methodist church used to preach the gospel. But here they are a couple hundred years later, and no message whatsoever. In that message, I continue to read, and he said, sin, he defined sin as this. He said, sin, there's nothing wrong with anything within itself. It's when it takes control of you. He said, and he gave some illustrations. He said, there's nothing wrong with sex. Even outside of marriage, he didn't have a problem with that. By the way, his youth pastor, there was a bulletin that was put out. His youth pastor and his fiance were getting married. Well, that's not a big deal, I suppose. Except they already had a 3-year-old child. And that was their youth pastor. What kind of example is that to our children? And so he began to talk about sin. He says, sin, and he says, these are not a problem unless it takes control of you. Doesn't the Bible say, thou shalt not? He's saying, you can go out and have all the fun you want, but once it gets control of you, then it becomes sin. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Listen, we need to keep doing what we're doing. There's people lost and dying and going to hell. We need to keep telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't change what you believe. Don't change the way you live. Don't change what you do. And look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all. Does anybody know what that means? Paul, what's that say in the Greek? Above all. It's the most important thing. Above all, take the shield of faith. Don't change whom you trust. Keep looking unto Jesus. You know, there's a problem today that so many don't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ like they once did. Above all, that's the most important. Notice the emphasis. Listen, you might mess up in a lot of areas, but when you mess up in this one, you're going to start sinking like Peter did on the sea. When you take your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ for but a moment, you're in a whole lot of trouble. Listen, don't change who you trust. By the way, in this world, he's the only one you truly can trust. Man will fail you, let you down. We're human, we're flesh, we make mistakes. Don't change who you're trusting. Above all, take the shield of faith. Look at verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Of course, we've already talked about that. And the sword of the Spirit. Don't change what you read. You remember what we're talking about? We're talking about stand therefore. In other words, don't change, and here's how you're going to do it. Don't change what you believe. Don't change the way you live. Don't change what you do. Don't change whom you trust. Don't change what you read. He says, take the sword of the Spirit. Don't change the Word of God. Isn't it interesting that almost every time we get into a message like this, it always comes back to the same things? Read your Bible, pray, go to church, trust the Lord. Hey, you're just singing the same song. You're like a broken record. The Bible's a broken record then. Because every apostle says, trust in the Lord. Every apostle says, read the Word of God. Every apostle says that we ought to pray. They're all teaching us the same thing. Don't change the things you read. Verse 18, don't change to whom you come, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying with all prayer. Don't change to whom you come. I think sometimes I'm guilty of this. I try to reason out my issues and my problems before I pray. Why don't we come to Him first? You ever done that, Brother Uren? You ever thought, well, I can figure this out. Our wives are great for setting us straight on that. Well, have you prayed about it? Oh, man, where did I find you? You know, my wife does that to me all the time. I'll say, hey, listen, let me talk about this thing. I got this idea, blah, 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 and I'm going on. I'm excited. She goes, have you prayed about it? Oh, wow. Who appointed you the Holy Spirit? You know? Brother Uren knows exactly, don't you, brother? That's because our wives know how to pray. They know how to pray. But we need that sometimes. We need to be, but you know what? They do too. We need to remind each other. Have you taken the time to pray? It's funny how many times I'll have a young person come in my office and say, well, I'm thinking about college and I'm looking at this one and this one and this one. Pastor, what do you think? Have you prayed about it? Oh, no. And you're talking to me? Why don't you talk to him? Now, I don't have the wisdom that God has. Go ahead, talk to the Lord about it. So they pray. Don't change to whom you come. Listen, God says, you can wrestle, you can fight. And then there's going to come a time where you can just withstand. But he says, having done all, at the end of the day, stand. Don't change some things. You say, why? Because there's battles coming. There's storms brewing. There's problems arising. But if you will refuse to change the things that you believe, if you are anchored in the rock of Christ Jesus, if you refuse to change the way you live, have on the breastplate of righteousness, you say, I'm not going to change what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep going and preaching the gospel. If you don't change who you trust, I'm going to take the shield of faith. If you don't change what you read, I'm going to embrace the sword of the Spirit. If I'm not going to change whom I come, I'm going to pray and pray and pray. You'll be just fine. You'll be just fine. Keep trusting the Lord. Don't change, having done all to stand. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you for the message of Scripture that we can stand in Christ Jesus. This armor is all provided by the Lord. Truth is the word of God. The righteousness is because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Our feet are to be shod with the gospel. And the shield is only because of faith in Jesus. Father, help us to keep looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us to keep reading the word and praying like we ought to. Help us in this evil and wicked day to stand. Not to be blown about by every wind of doctrine, but to stand. Strengthen us tonight with your word, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Piano's going to play. Brother Baker is going to sing. If God has spoke to your heart, would you step out and come? Maybe you just need to pray right where you are and say, Lord, just help me to stand. Help me to stand. My family needs me to stand. My church needs me to stand. We're to stand, therefore, on the truth. Our breastplate of righteousness and our shield of faith. The sword of the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Let's stand. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for being here tonight. Lord bless you. We're going to have a great week, and I hope that you'll plan on being with us for all of our meetings. Who picks our invitation song each week? Mrs. Baker does? Thank you. You do such a good job at always just right with the message. I appreciate that so much. I was thinking that this morning with our invitation. I appreciate that so very much. And I'm so glad to have workers that you never have to think or worry about. Just trust and praise the Lord for that. All right. Do you have some announcements tonight, Mr. Baker? You have an announcement, then Pastor McDonald will come and close our service.
All right. Austin's gone to grab my props, if he's there. If he's coming. I'll let you know, Vacation Bible School, I've talked with a couple of you guys. We're doing Arrow Island this year. And here we go. All right. He's got my inflatable monkey and my alligator. And these are some of the prizes. These are some of the prizes, my friends, that I had for our junior church this morning. And so the kids are going to be able to earn some points and work towards getting some of those. That's coming up at the end of August, the second to last week of August. And I'm looking for help. I'm looking for people to make cookies, people to do crafts with Mrs. Took, people to help in the lesson times in the classrooms, people just to walk around and make sure we don't lose kids or worse or something, okay? I also need help working on my bus routes. So if you're able to help in absolutely any way, shape, or form, just come talk to me, and then we'll get you on that volunteer list. And if you haven't already filled out a police background check for this current year for our insurance, we do need that. I had a lady ask if even to do cookies, anything to do with our children ministry has to have a background check for our insurance purposes. So if you could take care of that or see me and I can get you the forms, that would be great.
Okay. It's interesting. Just a couple of announcements here before we close. First of all, I've got down here a Lancaster trip meeting. Those interested in going to the Lancaster, on the Lancaster trip, which would be actually an awesome trip to be on. I was on one a couple of years ago down there, and it's I really highly advise it if you get the chance. There's a meeting in the teenagers' room right after the service tonight, so please don't forget that. Also, the other thing that I want to draw your attention is that book giveaway. We have a ton of books, literally a ton of books, right down the academy section there, right across from, or right outside the library, the school library. There's a lot of books, and I'm sure there's something for everyone. We really want to get these into good hands before we have to ship them out. As I said, we just have to make more room for what we're planning on doing this year. So take the chance, or take the time, I should say, and look those over. I'm sure there's going to be something for you. Absolutely free. Take them home. They'll be good resources for you. Let's close now in a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good message that was preached here tonight, Lord. Help us to stand. Help us to not change from who we are, what we believe, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that this church, until the Lord comes, this church would make its stand. Take its stand on your word. Take its stand on soul winning. Take its stand for righteousness. And Father, we need your help to do this. We cannot do this on our own. The flesh cannot survive in this world, never could. But Father, we have the Holy Spirit, one who can. And Father, we draw upon him, we ask upon him. We also pray for our sister churches, Lord, all across Canada, around the world. It is such a privilege to work shoulder to shoulder and to be able to support and to pray for all these other missions and churches, Lord, as other people are being reached that have never heard the gospel be preached before in their lives. And Lord, we pray for the one that raised his hand this morning, Lord. We pray for his salvation, Lord. We pray for the family there. We just thank you so much for the visitors that have come our way this summer, a steady stream. Help us to be ready to give a good answer, Lord, the answer that Jesus Christ saves to them when they come seeking. Now dismiss us and give us safety on the roads as we go. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You are dismissed.